Welcome to our second Texas Construction Association podcast today. The date is Monday, May 13th, 2024, and we come to you today with our good friend Ricardo Romero, the work-based learning specialist for the Texas Education Service Center Region 13, in and about our great capital city of Austin, Texas, and the area around it. Ricardo has a friend next to him he'll introduce to you. Ricardo just helped publish a really insightful Travis County mapping report, which deals with education and CTE for area middle school and high school students. And it really breaks down the huge needs and construction trends going forward in our world. Ricardo, it's great to have you on the show. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you so much for having us. This is Josh Mitchell. I'll let him introduce himself, but he spearheaded a good chunk of this report as well. So big kudos to him sitting down and just breaking down all that data and all that information just to talk more about apprenticeships and how we can help the career technology education world here in the state of Texas and more importantly in our region here in Central Texas.
Yeah, with all that work, Josh, we have to have you on the show. It's a beautiful report. It's lengthy and it's really insightful. Josh, I think you want to lead it. Give us an overview of the Travis County mapping report, and then we'll go into some specifics. But first off, why do you do a mapping report? What is that and what does it mean?
Yeah, I would say, you know, the whole purpose of doing this gap and asset mapping report is for us to identify where we are doing well in K through 12 education, especially on workforce development, and then where are the aspects of where we are struggling with getting students in the pipelines to fill the jobs that are in demand. And as we took a look at this report, really the main focus we had on this report was identifying our top five industries by labor market information, and then taking that labor market information and really looking at the programs that schools offer for those workforce development programs to fill those market needs. And what we found is we're doing well in some areas, such as in healthcare. There's a lot of student interest there, but we're really struggling when it comes to recruiting students and getting them interested in some of our skilled trades, construction, and our manufacturing programs. And the reason I throw in manufacturing is because welding often falls under a manufacturing pathway for students to complete in the state of Texas. So those are kind of the three big areas that we really looked at. And it's important that we have that data to say these are our gaps and then take it to strategic planning so that we can work with partners around the region to better identify the next steps going forward in order to solve some of these problems, you know, maybe next year and 5 to 10 years down the road. So we have students entering into these high skill, high demand opportunities.
That's fascinating. And you mentioned the gaps. You talk about that. That's a big news always on our mind with TCA and our member associations. What does the mapping report say initially or indicate about CTE in the local schools? What's good and what's not, or what do we need to grow on?
I would say, look, if we focus on just construction in general, let's just do that since this is a construction podcast, and I'll throw in a few other stats for manufacturing as well. But sure. In the construction industry, Workforce Solutions Capital Area recently published a report of one of their insight reports that talks about the needs in mobility and infrastructure work that's coming up. And in this mobility and infrastructure work, this includes everything from our bus drivers to people who are going to be maintaining these vehicles, all the way down to that general construction labor, and then all of the business aspects that kind of go with construction. And what that report found is, you know, right now we have about 222,000 people employed in those industries that support the whole construction industry as a whole. But honestly, we are running pretty short on recruiting that next generation of workers in there. And it's anticipated in the next 10 years that we're going to, excuse me, next 20 years, that we're going to need about 404,000 people to work in those different opportunities.
Wow.
So this draws up, you know, once again, a big red flag, right? Because anytime we see such huge market demand there, and we're not filling those workforce needs, that means we're going to see a lot of projects potentially change. There might be a lot of change orders in those projects, but we're also probably going to see a lot of delays on those. And if we think about cutting through 35 and trying to fix that, any delays are going to, you know, honestly make a lot of people angry in the Austin area, right? So it's important that we really think through these pieces and we start to think about that recruitment. And recently, Kirk Watson, the mayor of Austin, has spearheaded with Workforce Solutions Capital Area the beginning of an infrastructure academy that's going to be focused at adult education in order to get more people into those construction laborer positions. But unfortunately, our schools are still kind of falling behind at this point. And in the Travis County area, we do know that Austin ISD, Del Valle, Elgin, Manor, and Pflugerville ISDs all have construction trades programs, which is fantastic. But right now, we're seeing a lot of students who aren't very interested in these areas. And when we start to survey some of our seventh graders, we see that, you know, if we were to take a pie chart of about 100% of seventh graders and we start to survey them, about 80% of them are interested in either tech or healthcare jobs, but only 20% of them are 10% in construction and 10% in manufacturing are interested in actually pursuing those types of jobs. And where these jobs are important is they're middle skill jobs, right? These are opportunities for students to get an education at a much more prorated, you know, opportunity through like an apprenticeship or on the job training. And it's going to be able to propel them into much, much more lucrative positions as they get into the construction industry. One of the interesting pieces that we saw as we look at this is that Austin ISD is probably a leader in providing students with some of those pathways. They're a much bigger district, but they actually have sort of this early college high school program over at Crockett High School. And those students over at Crockett High School are actually earning more dual credits in the construction trades than any other school district in the county. And it's right at about 209 credit hours for 22-23. But you can see there's still a lot of room to grow within there. So that's, you know, of course, a huge success that we see. But unfortunately, we're only seeing about 278 students across all those school districts who are actually completing 2 years of a construction trades class, but only about 113 of them go on to complete all 4 years of that construction trades program. So we're starting to lose over half of those students as they go through that. So there's obviously, you know, sort of an image problem that we have to really think through to get more kids interested in these construction careers.
Right. And that's a good point. Ricardo and I talked about that briefly last week or in length. You know, it is a perception problem, and we want to make parents aware. Twofold question, Ricardo, for you, and thanks for that, Josh, or both of you can chime in. We do have that perception problem. Parents need to know, and that's what we've been working on with LoneStarConstructionCareers.org, our website. You also have a work-based learning website where students can find jobs, internships, apprenticeship opportunities. It's really great looking, and it shows them the great, wonderful embedded career they can have for decades to come and making fantastic money doing it. And then does the mapping report say anything about our construction workers in Texas or in the local area who are retiring, you know, who are older age? You know, we joke and kid and call them the gray gals and gray guys, but you know, they're retiring. And so we mentioned gaps, and that's why we need those students to fill those gaps.
Right. And then also in that report, we mentioned a lot of things. I mean, we talked about it and we always talk about it on a daily basis too, that these people are retiring. So the apprenticeship, they're not really learning the good stuff that should have been a really well-seasoned person by then, or even a journeyman who knows what they're doing, and the actual person who's teaching them. They're trying to make a foreman at maybe not even the age of 30, and he's already promoted to foreman, but there's still that individual himself or herself has gaps that they weren't fulfilled when they were learning through the process. So it's a big thing that we need to also, like you mentioned, to get that information out to the parents as well and lose that stigma about what it is in construction, because there's so many, a plethora of things that I just begin to learn. and within a year of just doing this work. And it's really interesting to see where you can go with this. And we talked to at the ACEA meeting, just someone saying, yeah, we need people just to learn how to survey. And that's an awesome job too. And just the whole umbrella in the construction world that people don't know about. So trying to get that word out. And I know you mentioned our website that we're about to launch officially, the futuretexas.net. It'll be launched soon in the fall. So we're going to try to get that information out just for students to learn. And also too, hey, I just want to find an apprenticeship, or how do I go about that? I know I was speaking to someone this weekend. They're just like, hey, I thought you had to know someone to know anybody to start your apprenticeship, and that old say, and that's not the case anymore. We're trying to get that word out as well. Just, hey, there's a lot of people who are willing to help. And here's another pathway and avenue to do that.
Oh, you guys are doing a great job already. Thanks for that, Ricardo. And Josh, does the mapping report say anything about vulnerable populations that might not have the option to go to a four-year school? CTE apprenticeship programs, Ricardo mentions, it can be a real turnkey for them and their life.
Yeah, we've been working on this for about 3 years to try. We've been mostly focusing on just skilled trades for the last 3 years and trying to shift that image of, you know, what it is like to have those skilled trades opportunities, and really kind of pitching it to our schools as that option where students can earn and learn, right? So they're able to make that money, they're able to get, you know, the learning that they need while preparing for that opportunity. And we're really trying to get that out to parents. But a big population we really need to reach is school counselors, because our schools are still very highly focused on, you know, this, the student needs to do a four-year degree to be successful. But we know that's not true, right? So if you were to go on a skilled trades or construction pathway, chances are over your lifetime, you're probably going to make more money than most people who complete that four-year degree. Right. And it's important that we start to kind of break down that stigma, but we also break down that stigma that, you know, there's opportunities. The opportunity doesn't stop once you just finish maybe that apprenticeship or on the job training, that you have so many ways to move into project management, estimating positions, right? It's not just being in the field all the time. It's a high growth industry with a lot of upskilling ability for students to be able to prepare for those careers. In addition to that, with those vulnerable populations, a big thing we highlight in here, and we know this across the construction industry, is that it is very male dominated. And that's also showing in the data with their schools as well. And we're really trying to look at marketing and look at trying to create classrooms in a more inclusive way that, you know, our female students are more likely to join and become, you know, move into that construction industry, and that it's, you know, really an industry for all people to join in. So we recently did a skilled trades video series, which, you know, came out really, really well. And in there, the Electrical Training Alliance, which is aligned with the IBEW, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, we highlighted three women in their journey and how they are becoming journeymen women, you know, out in the field, right? So I think it's important that we have those conversations about, you know, not only the gender piece, but also making sure that we do reach all those students who may not be able to pursue that four-year track, but this is a great opportunity for them to grow and have a great income for their families in the future.
Well said, Josh. Speaking of, you both know we have an exceptional economy in Texas, number one economy of all states currently, and then definitely equal to that as far as Austin goes. Man, talk about numbers filling the gap. You've discussed how wide the gap is currently at the forefront of the podcast, Josh, and how to close the gap. I want to ask you guys, what are one or two or three of your favorite pieces, most interesting pieces to the mapping report that you want to mention before we close today? A highlight that, or highlights that you want to mention, Ricardo, and then you, Josh, that people need to know about this mapping report?
I think one of the things that we haven't spoke about yet, and it's on there too, is the actual ethnicity of students who are there participating in that. We still lack a lot of students in Hispanic and African American and Asian American students who can do this. You see them starting it, And then for some odd reason, we need to find out that data and figure out why, what's happening, but they're not completing it. And it's also to Asian American women and Hispanic women, just all that stuff. You just see that big old drop in them, and getting that information out to those people. And just, it doesn't matter what your color is. The color that everybody wants to make is green, and your financial stability.
Of course,
And
yeah.
that information, if you can get that out to people, just understanding it, hey, this is a great pathway for you. So I know when we're digging into the data, just male to female, we mentioned a little while ago, over 16,000 males in the Travis County compared to who's completing a course, just over 4,000 females. And that big difference of like, hey, it's the same course, but we just need to get that information out. Girl power is out there as well. You can do this. And it's a stigma out there, but they're seeing people who are doing their work, but also getting that information out. I know that piece stood out to me. I didn't realize. I thought it was going to be low, but I didn't realize how low it was looking into the information when I was with Josh. We were mapping out that Travis County area, but it's really, really low. And just getting that word out there with the Chamber of Commerce's and just people like that. So we appreciate you just getting us on this podcast so we can promote that as well. I don't know what you're thinking, Josh, when you did the report and you saw that information.
Yeah, I just want to share
Absolutely.
two things, Brian. One is work-based learning experiences. So we see that schools do a pretty good job of creating like simulated work-based learning experiences where students can build like tiny homes, or they might be building sheds or trailers if they're in a welding class. But where we're really struggling is getting them out into the field a lot of times. And I think there's often the misconception that employers have that, you know, students will affect their liability policy, whereas in turn, the students are actually a lot of times covered under the school's liability policy. So it's a way to protect those businesses so we can get more students out there. And the child safety laws that are written by the Texas Workforce Commission give a lot of latitude for students to do work on the job as long as it's a school-sponsored activity. They can do everything from sheet metal, cutting to excavation activities. They can't do demolition. So that's the one thing they have to stay away from, as you might imagine. But there is a lot they can do in the field as long as there's some written like memorandums of understanding in place that the employer and the school district are working together. So we're really trying to bridge that gap and help employers understand they can have students on the job out there working. And in fact, we're going to be launching an electrical youth apprenticeship next year with the Electrical Training Alliance and the IBEW to help bridge that gap. And students will be working in the prefab facilities while earning that first year's pay as an apprentice and completing their academic requirements for their electrical journeyman license in their senior year. So they'll have 1 year of that 4 year journey complete during their senior year, which is amazing. And anytime we can be paying students in those last years of school to get out there and do that experience is going to be that carrot that we're dangling to say, hey, this is worth pursuing because at the end of this pathway and the end of high school, you'll be making money and actually getting some work experience out there, which I think is just really crucial that we have that conversation about. The other piece I want to point out too is just, you know, breaking that stigma down at the middle school level. We need to make construction look great, and students are signing up for their career and technical education pathways in eighth grade. So we really need to be targeting those seventh graders to build that awareness about these careers, but also show them that it is an interesting and thought-provoking career. Tech has done an awesome job at this and creating all these robotic programs and coding programs, and they have changed the image of tech considerably. We still have a lot of work to do in construction and manufacturing.
Right. Very well said, Dr. Lindsay Almquist, who's on the podcast tomorrow. Ricardo and I are friends with Lindsay, and she's president of the Craftsman Center for the Trades. That's what she talked about last time I spoke with her over the phone, and when we went out to the Williamson County Trades Day, is that we really got to do a lot better job, everyone in the construction industry and CTE field of giving this knowledge to middle school kids, you know, the younger the better, so that these young people learn how much of an incredible career it is. I wonder, just a sidebar note, I wonder sometimes with some of the vulnerable populations you all mentioned, and in the report, that maybe potentially one reason they trail off potentially is some of them may not have the use of a vehicle, you know, to get to a job site. I don't know, you know, that's just throwing sand in the air. But that could be a reason why there's a trail off or a tail off for some of them, I wonder.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's for sure something. I know Josh Mitchell ran a program last summer, and he ordered the school bus and paid for that, but not very many students, if only one, right?
One
One
took
student used it.
advantage, yeah.
One kid took advantage of it. The rest of them used their own transportation. But there's also that part too, when we're setting up these apprenticeships and programs with the school districts, like how do we get them there? I mean, sometimes grant funds, you can only use them for certain things. You can't buy gift cards for Ubers. And I mean, sometimes when the students are all the way out in Manor and different ways, there's no public transportation out there. So that's a big barrier as well. So, I mean, that's one of the major things that is something that we need to talk about some more and get that going in the right direction. Because people want to work. It's just how do we get them there?
It's
It's
a
a
well
nationwide
said.
problem.
Yeah, it's a nationwide problem, Brian. And, really, it's probably going to require policy changes to make the use of those funds a little more flexible so that we can help students get to where they need.
Right. And then they can have a great life and a great money-making career doing it. Gentlemen, fascinating talk, and we'll definitely have you both on again. We can make this a regular occurrence. But
If I can
Josh,
really quick,
go
Brian, as
ahead.
a tribute to Mother's Day that's happened this week, I know this is a podcast, but we
Yeah.
were sitting in promoting our electrical apprenticeship last week, and we have Pflugerville AISD and DeVita ISD. But I remember the apprenticeship, the gentlemen were talking about the money they were making. There's a big scale, and I remember seeing the mom in front of this other student, and she turned and looked at him after she was doing on the calculator. I know Josh doesn't know the story because he was in front talking to everybody, but the mom had the calculator out and said, "Okay, $17 plus this." And she looked up at the boy and in Spanish kind of said, "Tú vas a hacer eso. You're gonna do this because this is some generational wealth changing
Oh, yeah.
trajectory." So just if any of the business who do watch this, just we need you, come reach out to Region 13 if you want to more information. I mean, just anything. So we appreciate you just getting the word out. And we're just trying to do some job shadowing, internships, career fairs, anything. Like we are grateful for you. And we need them. So hopefully they're not as scared to just kind of chat with us and we'll take it from there.
Oh, phenomenal. Thanks, Ricardo. We will definitely have you on again, both of you on again, if you'd like. And Josh, that was just a great speak. Yeah, we did a graphic last week. The average college 4-year college debt currently in 2024 is $38,290. That's the average. If it's private school, it goes up to 55 plus. That's just the average. And so you guys would agree. First year out after really being a certified tradesman of some sort, or definitely 2 years out, they can pass up that rate pretty darn quick, being in the construction trades. And so once they get certified at plumbing or electrical, it just is a phenomenal avenue. I want to thank you both so much. Thank you so much, Ricardo Romero, work-based learning specialist for the Texas Education Service Center Region 13 in Austin, Texas, and Josh Mitchell of the Travis County Mapping Report. Guys, we're going to stick a link on at the end of the podcast to the mapping report so people can readily have that available and look at it. It's really fascinating. Thank you both so much for
Thank
joining us
you.
on the Texas Construction Association podcast, and we'll see you again soon. Thanks, guys.